Okay, welcome to the Atomic Podcast. This is Efren Guzman talking with a third generation superstar, and she's big out in Tennessee. Let's give it up for Roxy Rossi. Am I pronouncing it right? I'm sorry, because people can't pronounce my name at all. You do the honors in saying your name.
Yeah, hi guys, I'm Roxy Rossi, and Roxy Rossi. You're good, you got close.
It's close to Ronda Rousey almost, Roxy Rousey, you know, almost close to Ronda Rousey, right? Like, it's sort of similar.
Yeah, you were pretty close.
Don't tease me now. So you know, if people don't know you, come tell the fans where they've seen you at, or, you know, where you're wrestling at now, or you're still in the wrestling business, right?
Yeah, I am. I haven't done anything in probably about a year now. About a year ago, I ran my first show, and it went well. It was really fun. Before that, you probably caught me on the CW on Saw. It was a local network here. I think it reached pretty far.
Did it reach to New York?
Yeah, I might have. I'm not exactly sure.
Oh, okay.
Had me on Facebook from all over, so who knows? It could have. But most people probably know my family more. My father was Joey Rossi, and my grandfather is the legendary Len Rossi. And so I kind of grew up with the royal family of wrestling, I guess.
Wow. So it's almost like... Oh, it's almost like you're like almost the boy that they wanted, but, you know, they had a beautiful little girl, and then they just want to say, you know what, we're going to put you in the wrestling business. So how did that all transpire? Because, you know, a lot of girls really don't follow in their father's footsteps like that. But how, just take me back to the beginning, like, how did it all get started for you?
Yeah, actually, I have two older brothers, and, you know, they were, my dad always tried to, you know, he's always wrestling in the kitchen with them, and trying to get them involved, and they just, you know, they're always interested in the, you know, my father and my grandfather's career, just, you know, newspaper clippings and things like that, but they were never interested in trying out for the team. And I was very competitive growing up. I played, like, you know, four sports, varsity, high school, and I was just always more interested in it, and kind of always been a roughhouser. So,
wow.
After my father passed away, I just wanted to feel kind of connected to him and just be kind of close in a way that I hadn't been able to when he was alive. So I just ended up, you know, meeting the right people, kind of just, you know, working here and there and being around in Nashville, and gave it a go and did my first show, and I was hooked. I mean, it's such an adrenaline rush. And then, you know, my grandfather was always proud of me and always supportive and always kind of taught me the ropes and the rules of the ring. So that's kind of how it happened.
Oh, did your father pass away while you were still in school, or what time frame did he pass away?
Yeah, he got cancer around my 15th birthday, which was November.
Oh,
and
wow.
He died around my 16th birthday, yeah. So he died on November 29th. My birthday is the 27th. So had lung cancer. And he was a smoker. He smoked cigarettes. But, you know, to his credit, he was never a big, like, drinker or anything like that. He owned a health food store. But, you know, he grew up like I did. Like, he grew up in locker rooms with his father. And so, you know, you are going to pick up some habits here and there. And that was his worst habit. And he decided to quit smoking. He had a gallbladder surgery.
Oh my God.
And I remember we were going to the hospital and being in the back of the car with him, and he bought a full pack of cigarettes, and he smoked one, and he took it, and he chucked it out the window, and he's like, I'm done with this, I'm never smoking again. And that day, we went to the doctor, he had his gallbladder surgery, and they found cancer.
Oh my God.
I mean, it just goes to show you, life is short, and you just never know, you know, so.
Yeah, so I'm assuming you don't smoke yourself, right? You never took a cigarette at all yourself, right? You're clean.
I don't smoke, but I did. I did when I was younger. You know, when you're a teenager,
yeah,
and you're just hanging out with your friend, you try to be cool. But I don't smoke anymore, and it was a long time ago. So, but yeah, I'm not perfect. I've had my moments. So.
Yeah. All right. So let me just put this in a happy mood, because I don't want this to be sad. But so all your life, I'm sorry about that. You know what I'm saying? But in school athletics, though, like, you know, a lot of girls go for the cheerleading team or the band. You was just straight up athletics, right? You wanted to do sports and everything, from what you were saying?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I played basketball all through, you know, when I was a little kid to growing up. And then when I got to high school, I was just walking down the hallway, and the volleyball coach was like, hey, you're tall. Do you want to play volleyball? I'm like, yeah, I'll play. So I ended up being good, being really good. So I got varsity. I became varsity volleyball. And then I guess that wasn't enough for me, so I decided to do track. I did the high jump, and I did the, I think the 100 yard dash. I'm not sure what it was. The half mile, basically. And I got the first match I did, I had to fill in for somebody who was sick, and I got second place.
Oh, wow.
So they kind of kept me around through sports, and I always had to stay after school because I had like three practices lined up, you know.
Yeah. Oh my God. So you was a like almost like a, I don't know what's the terminology you would call, you know, you call a guy a jock or whatever like that. I guess you was like a jockette or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I was a jockette.
Oh man.
Everything was a competition, you know.
Yeah.
Too bad I didn't focus more on my math skills, but
yeah,
that's all right.
I'm sure you was good at the academics as well, though, right? Besides sports, you was good at academics.
Yeah, you had to be, or you didn't get to play. So I was always, you know, I wasn't. Math was always kind of my weak subject, but yeah. I always loved history and English and stuff like that. So I always kept my grades. You know, and I was like a B student. I wasn't bad. I always kept them up because I would never want to miss a game. You know.
Yeah, hey, B is better than a D, so that's pretty good. Also, your grandfather was also a wrestler. Did he talk to you when you was younger? Did he instill, like, the wrestling in you, too? Because it's kind of funny that your brothers didn't get into it, but you did. So what was, like, was there a trigger or something that made you said, okay, I think this is it for me? Like, was there a point in your life?
Yeah, well, growing up, I think my grandfather's generation of wrestling, and this is a lot of the old school guys, and I'm sure you know this, most of the fans know this, it was so different. As in, you know, now you watch things on TV, and, you know, even like the terminology they use, like the words and things that only wrestlers used to know, now everybody knows them. So my grandfather came from an era where, you know, you didn't give away the secrets. Everything, you protected the business, and everything wasn't, you know, broadcasted like it is now. You didn't know the outcome. Like, it was such a deal for them to keep it only through the wrestlers. So when I was growing up, he would speak on a match, but or talk about memories or something like that, but even with his family, even with his wife, with his grandkids, we didn't know any of the terminology. He never gave away any of the secrets. You never, but if he talked about a match, he talked about the match like he would to an audience. You didn't hear, like, the terms heel or babyface, not like they do nowadays. So, yes, he did talk about wrestling and memories with, you know, the Fargos or pranks they would pull or ribs or things like that. But never, ever did he give away the business ever. He spent, you know, his whole life trying to protect it, even to us. And that's something that, you know, is you have to respect.
Yeah.
That's very rare. And so how I got into it, it wasn't necessarily like, you know, my grandfather called and made these connections for me. It was really just kind of being downtown Nashville and meeting people, and how I got into it was a bit random. I always liked to act, and I always liked modeling and things like that,
mm-hmm.
And I just happened to meet a promoter of a show one night, and they were like, oh, you're an actress, come on board, let's, you know, or you like to be in front of the camera, come on out, and I did, and then I ended up telling them later who my family was, not thinking that it would be a big deal, because, you know, my generation's probably not as familiar with my family as the older fans are. So it ended up being kind of a big deal to them. And so it just kind of fell into place. But I always felt like I was kind of meant to do that.
Yeah. It was like, you know, it was a passion you had for it, right? You know how some people have a passion to be a cop. Your passion was to be a wrestler, right? Once you went to the ring and you felt it, you was like, oh, this is it, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I trained for a little while, but I never was a fully on pro wrestler, which I have full respect for them. I did more managing, and, you know, I ran my own show, and I always liked kind of the, which is kind of ironic, you know, because girls are usually out there flaunting, and you want to be in front of the camera, which I enjoyed, but I always liked kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff. I thought it was just kind of interesting for a promoter to put this whole, I mean, it comes from an idea in your head, and then they go out there and they bust ass and they put this whole show together, and I always thought that was kind of cool. So one of my dreams was always to run my own show. When I did, I just, you know, I loved it, and it was great. And yeah, so I always liked going out there and wreaking a little havoc.
Wait, so you already ran your own show already? You already promoted your own show?
I did. It was like a year ago, and it went really well.
How did you put that together?
What's that?
How did you put that together? Tell me in detail. How did that happen? Like, how did you
start? You know, it was actually, I had been a manager for Slaw for such a long time, which I still love. I still love those guys. And I wanted to put on my own show. I just kind of gotten out of college, and it was something I'd always wanted to do because, at the end of the day, like, I'm a wrestling fan first. Yeah. I've always liked, especially old school wrestling, ECW, anything like that from the 80s through the 50s. Like, I love, even before that, I love that type of wrestling. And I really wanted to run my dream card, kind of who I would want on my card, who I would want on my show, and just kind of make sure I took care of the guys I had on there and, you know, run the best show that I could. And, you know, I'm a perfectionist, so looking back now, there are definitely some things that would change and things I wouldn't have, but it was really just kind of like my goal, and I was, you know, I think I was working, I was bartending and kind of managing this place near my college at the time in Murfreesboro, and the opportunity came up. We were looking for an event to put on, and we had this big room and this big venue, and I just kind of was like, hey, let's give it a shot. Let's put on a wrestling show and see if maybe we can get some younger college people out, and maybe they'll like it, and we can keep it going. So we did one show, and it went well, and then I kind of moved away, and hopefully in the future I'll be able to run another one, you know?
Wow. Did you have to pay your wrestlers a lot of money, or did for you, they did it for free, or?
Oh, no, nobody. You're not a wrestler if you work for free. No, you know, I, coming from a family of wrestlers, I would always want to take care of, you know, the wrestlers first, so I feel like everybody left happy and have their bellies full, and I have the food set up, and, you know, healthy options, and whatever they wanted was on the house, and they left with their pockets full, and so, yeah, you always got to take care of the boys first, because they're out there wrestling for you, the fans first, and the boys, I think they're on the same level, you know, so yeah. I definitely take care of my peeps.
Yeah.
And I love all of them. Everyone who's on my card, they're so talented, and I mean, there's so many talented people out there. It's a shame that there's not more wrestling, you know, real professional wrestling companies, not like, you know, local shows. It's a shame there's not like a few WWEs, because there's just not enough. I mean, I think 1% of wrestlers are on TV nowadays, and you meet so many talented ones that don't have contracts that deserve it, you know?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of wrestlers but not enough shows, you know? That's usually the problem.
Exactly.
You know, now they have Lucha Underground coming up. What do you think about that? Have you heard anything about it? Have you seen any trailers for it? Or
about the what was it?
The Lucha Underground that's coming to El Rey Network.
Oh, no, I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, it's the El Rey Network is run by Robert Rodriguez, who's like the director of Spy Kids, and they're basically bringing like Lucha Libre, you know, to, you know, American television, and then they're gonna have a intergender division, which is kind of controversial, but you know, I think it's different, you know, men against the women in wrestling, so you know.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, what you think about that? You think, you know, how society, you know, you know, doesn't want like a man to beat a woman, but you know, it's you know, wrestling is like you know, the movies, you know, like, you know, you'll see Black Widow kicking somebody's butt, you know, and, you know, fighting dudes. Like, how you feel about that, like having, you know, once it comes out, like an intergender match, men versus women, or have you ever been involved in one or anything?
Yeah, I have, and you know what? I'm all for it, because I know some women in this business, they can beat up any guy any day of the week, you know, and I know some men that are stronger than women, so I think it's great. I mean, I think women in this business have proved themselves, that they can be on the same level as men.
Yeah.
So, and the ones that are going to be up there fighting the men, it's not just going to be, you know, someone that's new, kind of green in the business, starting out, and all of a sudden they're going to fight this big. It's going to be women that have really, like, vied for that spot and proven themselves that they can handle it. So I'm all for it. I think that's great. And, like, Lucha Libres are, like, the most, they can do more flips than I've ever seen any type of, something about them. They got, like, a spring in their step. So they're always just, like, fun to watch. I mean, they're just so explosive. So I think that'll be really cool. I'm glad it's coming, crossing over too.
Yeah. I was gonna ask you too, I know your parents were inspirations for wrestling, but was there a particular female wrestler that inspired you as well, or did you have any female role model from the wrestling standpoint?
This is a hard one to answer because there was a lot of them. I mean, I really looked up to a lot of them growing up, but honestly, mine was more, and this is kind of old school, obviously the great Moolah.
Oh yeah.
One of my favorite. I really love the old school girls because, I mean, they really broke a lot of barriers.
Yeah.
For, you know, the girls that are on TV today. But yeah, and I looked up to a lot of the UFC women too, even though it's not with wrestling. I mean,
yeah,
that took some guts to get out there. So anybody that kind of, like, you know, paved the way a time where they weren't okay with the boys, you know, now the girls and the boys kind of have a mutual respect, but back then it was just so, like, you know, if you were a woman, you'd better act like a lady. So, I mean, I just always thought that took a lot of guts and courage to do that.
I don't know, but from my vantage point, from, like, the fans' vantage point, like, back then, like, the women were, like, kind of rough, you know, like, you know, when you take, you know, Sherry Martel, Medusa, you know, Luna Vachon, and then when you see the wrestlers now, like Nikki Bella and all that, it's like night and day from the wrestlers back then to the wrestlers now.
Yeah, it is. They've definitely gotten pretty hot. Pretty hot over the years.
Yeah.
And I love the Bella Twins, buddy. I watched the Divas show ever, too, so. But yeah, they were pretty, you didn't want to mess with those girls back in the day.
Yeah. Also, I read about you. Was Reno Riggins one of your trainers?
No, Reno was my promoter at all.
Okay. Was he also in the WWE as one of the, enhancements wrestlers, right?
I'm not sure. Maybe he was.
Yeah, because the name sounds vaguely familiar. I think he was one of those, enhancement wrestlers as well. That's why I was like, Reno Riggins, that name sounds so familiar. I think he was one of the...
Yeah, Reno was he was a big deal back in the day, probably. I know he used to wrestle a lot, and he ended up doing a match later against, when I was working for him, against Kid Cash, and it was pretty epic.
Oh, wow. Is there any close friends you have in the business now, like, or...
Yeah, I do. I have a few of them, and I don't want to be one of those people that name drops, but, of course, Nova. Nova's my boy, Mr. Mike Bucci. I love Josephus and Benita.
Yeah.
They're very close friends of mine. Kid Cash, of course. He's always been a good friend of mine. I'm trying to think. Anybody that I've worked in this area with, you know, Gary Wolf and his girl Candy, love them. And I've always been a fan of his. So he was one of the original pit bulls. So I met so many cool people over the years. But, you know, it's like, you don't look at them like, it's not like I look at them like, oh, I grew up watching you. And just, you know, it's more like they're just stand-up people, you know. They have real lives, and there's so much, so many talented people you meet. It's so cool. It's like your carnival family.
I guess you could definitely compare wrestling to the carnival, you know, with the whole atmosphere of it, and it's just a family, you're all traveling together.
Yeah, and that's how it started, too, is in the carnival, so now it's come such a long way, but...
Yeah. Roxy, another question for you, I want to ask you, what is the toughest match you had so far in your short career right now? What is the toughest match?
The toughest match?
Yes.
A good one, let me think. Probably the toughest match I had, probably when I got hit in the face by who was it that punched me in the face? I'm trying to think. I just had a mind blank.
It must have been a hard hit. You forgot who she did.
It was such a hard hit. It knocked my brain on the circuit. It was a girl. I'm trying to remember.
Was it Tracy Taylor?
Yes, it was Delta. I was like, it was either Tracy Taylor or, she punched me in the face so, hard, man. And we were doing it was like a Lucha Libre kind of night at the fairgrounds. And man, that girl, I don't mess with her. She's got the hands of steel, but I took the rhythm out of me. You know, I kind of fell down and got knocked out a little bit, but I came up. Like, it took me a minute. I came up, and that was just from like a, you know, and probably people were like, that's nothing. You know, I've seen in Tash wrestle with his jaw wires shut, but you know, for me it was just like a, I didn't see it coming, so that was kind of a tough night. But I wore it, you know, I kind of looked like a badass with my black eye the next day.
He's like, oh, she got a shiner, she's tough, you know.
yeah, I was like, you should see the other eye, you know.
So you never had any surgery then, like any like scary surgery or nothing? You've been fine, knock on wood?
No, thank God, I've been lucky. I've never really had, I mean, I've had like broken bones, and I've broken my, you know, wrist probably a couple times and sprained them like that, but you know, I've never really had the opportunity because, again, I was the manager, you know, so I got in on it, but I always covered my ass, you know. Yeah. But wrestling, I mean, I trained a little bit with Dutch and before he went to the WWE again, and this stuff, you know, and I was just in the beginning of it, and so you really gotta be a tough mofo to be a wrestler. I know that. I mean, even just the, because I'm kind of skinny, you know, I'm kind of scrawny, and even the roses, like, the ropes, bruise you and things like that, but yeah. I was lucky enough to get my ass beat too bad.
How was Dutch as a trainer?
He was excellent as a trainer. I mean, just amazing, and I got the chance to take one class with Wolfie V, and he was excellent also, both just, like, from completely different ends of, you know, of the spectrum. They're just so different, but they're both just awesome, and I love Dutch, but he's a hard ass.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're a girl or a guy, right? He's hard. He's hard, right?
Yeah, he's a hard man, and he's just from that old school world, which is what I love, because it's like, you know, you keep your mouth shut, you keep your head down, you go to work, and you sweat it out, and you do what you're supposed to do, and you're okay. And if you go in there with like an attitude, like, I don't want to be there, I'm complaining, it's gonna be 10 times worse, you know? So, and then Wolfie was such an excellent trainer as far as just strategically. I mean, the way he flows his matches and his moves and teaches you things is just, he's really great at that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, like, you had a vast amount of experience and you've been doing it for a while. Do you prefer the manager aspect of wrestling, or you prefer being the wrestler that you are, as like carrying the Rossi family tradition name, or do you have any preference? Or
for me, I like the manager part because you know, I trained for a while and I liked it, but it just seemed like it wasn't it seemed like at the times that I was training that things just didn't work out. Like, I was training with Dutch, then he got his contract and had to leave, you know. When I was training with Wolfie, it's like I had to move. So it just didn't seem to all come together as easily. But when I was managing, it was just, I have such a loud personality, and maybe that comes from being Italian. I just always liked it. You know, I was always out there kind of causing trouble and being the brat, you know. I'm this third generation superstar brat, and I liked that because, you know, it makes people mad, and whether it makes people mad or happy or sad, you're getting like a reaction out of them, and that's what's important, because you're creating a conversation. When they go home, they can talk about what a biatch I was, you know, and that's cool to be able to do that with anything, you know, that you're passionate about. It gets people interested. So I wish I had had more training as a wrestler, but it didn't work out at the time, so who knows, maybe in the future. But mainly my basically what I did was, you know, was the manager role, so that's what I was comfortable with, and I loved it.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, there's not, you know, a lot of managers are not really relevant now anymore, because, you know, you have Paul Heyman, who is now acknowledged as the advocate, but, like, the day of the managers is just, it's just sad that it's like a dying breed, you know, like, and there's so many cool managers,
yeah, exactly.
You know, back in the days, from, like, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Mr. Fuji, you know, the Doctor of Style Slick, you can go on and on, but it's like, now it's just
very, very small. You know, you can count them with your, you know, in one palm of your hand. You know, so it's just sad that, you know, it's just not the same the way it used to be. You know, well, what you think about? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is a dying breed, and if you're, like, on TV and a manager nowadays, it's kind of like, you know that that person's really good at what they do because that, there's such a small window for that, but I always kind of felt like, people would always ask me, like, when are you going to wrestle? When are you going to be a wrestler? When are you going to be a wrestler? And I was just like, well, when I'm ready, because I kind of looked at it like, I had such a big name to live up to as far as my dad and my granddad. I didn't want to go out there not being ready and hurt myself or hurt someone else.
Yeah.
So I took my time with it, and I didn't, you know, it didn't work out, and that was fine with me because I still loved what I was doing. But I would never want to disgrace the ring by not being prepared for it, because you see a lot of women on TV that they, you know, they may be beautiful and they may be exotic looking and all this, but they get out there and it's just not a great match because they're not ready, because they're pulled up, because they look like a Barbie doll. You know, and that's great, and that's not their fault. They just need to be trained, and I never wanted to be that person. So I was always okay with you know, taking my time or not, you know, feeling the pressure to do it just to do it.
Yeah. I'm saying, but, like, do you feel, like, you just said you wanted to live up to your name. Do you feel you're not, like, adequate enough? Like, from the way you're saying it, you say, like, you know, you want to make the name proud, your name proud. But, you know, you're pretty good. Like, you feel that you need more to improve on or something? Or what do you mean?
I do, absolutely. And I say that because I feel like you can never stop improving, kind of. But as far as a wrestler goes, I wasn't ready. I was probably at an intermediate level. And to actually wrestle a match, I wanted to be where I knew I was comfortable. It was my tip-top shape. I didn't have anything to worry about because, you know, managing, it's hard as far as you are, you know, you have a certain job to do, but wrestling is a whole different ballgame because you have someone else's livelihood in your hands. So I wasn't ready as far because I didn't have enough training. So before I ever got in the ring, it wasn't that I, like, didn't believe in myself or thought I wasn't adequate enough. It was like I knew that I wasn't trained enough yet to be put in that position with someone else. You know, I didn't want to ever go out there and not feel like I was at the top of my game type of deal, because I am a competitive person, and you want to be ready.
Yeah, exactly. Also, another question I want to ask you: with the state of wrestling with TNA without having the TV deal, what's your take on that? Or I don't know if you even know about the situation, but, you know, they might not have a TV deal past December, I guess. So what's your take on, like, the state of wrestling?
I think that's really sad because, you know, it'll put a lot of talented people out of work. So that kind of is a bummer because, you know, you don't ever want to see that. And then it'll flood the indie market with people. And it's not just like it's not just TNA is going to be out of work. I mean, it's going to cause a chain of events that trickles down because then, you know, you're going to have so many TNA people that are working indie shows, it's going to put indie people out of work. I mean, so it's not good for any of it. It's not good. And I would never want, you know, anybody with talent to lose their job. So I really hope that they keep going and keep improving and all that.
Yeah, and what about the WWE? Do you like the product as of now? And, you know, what's your take on the WWE now?
I am a huge fan of the Total Divas.
Yeah.
Love that. I think it's perfect. I love all the girls on there. I think it's really, like, kind of opened up a light on the women's wrestling as far as that goes. But I've never been one of those people that's, like, kind of an ass kisser. Yeah, like, yeah, I love WWE, because I think a lot of people say that just to get a contract.
Yeah.
There have been times that I don't watch it because I'm like, oh, I don't know, this is kind of, you know, too much talking or boring as it is. And then there are times I'll watch it and I'm like, that was freaking awesome, you know. So I'm just like every other fan. I have things I don't like and I have things that I do like. But I guess my overall opinion of it is I wish, and this, you can't go back in time, you can't fix things, but I wish there was more of like a conscientious movement to keep the business more of a secret, I wish there was more of a protection of the business as far as terminology goes and storylines goes, and I've heard people refer to their characters and things like that. I don't like that aspect of it because it takes away from, you know, the people who came before us and everything they did to make sure that when people left the show, they remember that fight because to them, it's real. You know what I mean? Yeah. So as far as a product, I think they're genius. Yeah. I think they take care of wrestlers. They're the best company in the world that takes care of their employees. Yeah. They really do. I mean, they give you a whole new life. And what other company can do that? I think Vince McMahon is a genius. But I do think that, you know, maybe it should be a little more strict as far as what you can and can't do and can't say.
Yeah. This is a random question, but I just got to throw it in. What's your favorite WWE film, if you've ever seen the WWE film?
Oh, my gosh. I never watched that. I have no idea. Anything with, I don't know. Anything with the Bella Twins or Don Cena, I guess. Oh, wait. What was that film The Rock did? And I don't know if it's WWE. Didn't he say, it was like a Tooth Fairy or something like that?
Oh, the Tooth Fairy, yeah. Was it? I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it was a WWE film.
I think that was Vin Diesel.
No, you're right. It's the Tooth Fairy with The Rock, though. You're right. It was the Tooth Fairy.
Was it The Rock?
Yeah, the Tooth Fairy.
I love him. He's so great. But I haven't seen one in so long, but I did see one. I think it already had come out. It was a scary movie, and there was a ghost. It was the ghost of the mother was in the mirror. And it was a WWE film, and I was surprised. I was in the movie theaters watching it and watching the credits for it, and it just looked like your average scary movie.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, it was WWE production, and I was dang, that doesn't even look like it. It looks like a Fox, you know, or something movie, so yeah.
Oh, wow. So, do you like horror movies? Is that your genre, or?
I like all kinds of movies. I'm sure you've probably seen, a huge TV nerd, but I love so into Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, of course, American Horror Story. I love freaky movies, you know, comedy. I watch everything. It's kind of my thing to music. It's all over the place. Any kind of pretty much any kind of pop culture movie that's big, I'm into it too, you know.
Yeah. Oh no, The Walking Dead is really good. You saw the season premiere. It was awesome. It was really good.
Yes, it was so good. I was so glad that they, I want to give it away if anybody hasn't seen it, but I was glad they got out of that box.
Yeah. I love the reunion with
Daryl
and Carol. I was about to say.
Carol coming out, and I always knew Carol was a badass, but she came out, I was go Carol. When she looked at Tyrese and he's what are you going to do? And she's I'm going to kill him. I was oh, man, she's going to get captured. You know, her little short ass is going to go in there. She's going to die. That's what sucks. And then she just, came in there, ran by, blowing shit up. That was awesome. I love that show.
I know. Carol is the new Andrea now. You know, ever since, Andrea got killed off, I think Carol just stepped up her game a notch, From the first season to now, she just elevated herself up.
Yeah, she did. And, it is so cool that they took her from, she was this woman in this abusive marriage.
Yeah.
Her daughter, she goes through all these things. And then it's you're thinking, okay, she's just going to break down, But it was make her break it. She just was nope, that's not who I am anymore. And she's a phoenix, rising from the ashes. So,
yeah,
she's a great, great character.
I know probably she's glad now that Rick is with the baby. She's finally, I don't have to change diapers now. So,
Yeah. I don't have to listen to this baby anymore.
That's
I was so glad they got reunited, though. It was one of those nerds at the TV, yes, she's found her.
I know. You see, you know what's funny with me? Because I thought the Daryl Carroll was more emotional than Rick finding his daughter. He had more emotion when he lost his wife as opposed to when, he's seen Judith again. I was okay, it's weird, Did you think
that? Yeah, I thought that, what's the kid's name that's Chandler again?
Carl.
Carl. Carl, yeah, I thought Carl, because, you know, he was so upset. I thought he was just going to roll over there and freaking out, but, I mean,
Yeah, it's gonna be really awesome, dude. And was you also a fan?
I love Daryl, though. I have a huge crush on Daryl Dixon.
Yeah, I know. I think everyone likes him, but you know, who knows what they're gonna do with the storyline? Because I don't know if you read, like, they were teasing that he might be gay, might not be. So I don't even know what they're gonna do with that. But that'd be kind of interesting, though.
That would be just kind of weird, though, because I just don't see his character, you know, not that, whatever, be gay or not gay, it don't matter to me, but, I mean, like, I just thought me and him had, like, a thing, you know what I'm saying, so.
He's going to come get you.
Gay, that kind of puts a damper.
Yeah, well,
and I loved Merle. Merle was so, like, raunchy and trashy, too.
Yeah, Michael Rooker is such a great actor. Yeah, he was awesome as the Merle.
He was awesome.
Yeah. Also in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Did you see him in Guardians of the Galaxy? He was great.
I haven't seen it yet, so do not tell me what happens.
Oh my God. You're probably the one person in this world who's not seen a $700 million worldwide movie. Shame on you.
I know, like, everybody keeps posting about it, like, when it came out, and I never got the chance to go see it, and it's probably out of movie theaters now, but definitely, when it comes out, I'll be buying it, so, but, yeah, I didn't get to go see it, I was, like, working all the time, and, yeah, so, don't tell me what happened. I heard it was, like, the best movie ever.
It definitely was, it's right up there with the first Iron Man, it's definitely that good, so you definitely gotta check that out.
Oh, awesome, yeah, I will.
Oh, man, so I'm sorry, I'm getting off track with the movies and stuff, it's kind of cool that you like movies, that's really cool. I was gonna ask you also, was you a big fan of the NWA?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, who was your favorite wrestler at that time watching the NWA?
I don't even know. So long. Name off a few, and I'll tell you one.
All right, well, I was a fan of Ric Flair. I loved the Fantastics, the Midnight Express, you know, the Beautiful Bobby and Sweet Stan Lane version. The Road Warriors.
Yeah, I would probably say Midnight Express was up there.
Yeah.
Midnight Express, of course, Ric Flair. Have you seen his daughter? I think it's his daughter.
Yeah, Ashley Flair. Yeah.
Yeah, she's good.
Yeah, I know.
She's really good. Yeah. I watched a match between, and I saw this on the Divas show, but it was between her and Natalya.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so cool because it was like legend against legend's daughter against legend's niece, you know. Yeah. But she was like kicking ass.
Well, do you have the WWE Network as well?
I don't think I have that extra. I think I just have it on the USA and or whatever the regular channels come on. And I really haven't watched it in a while. I need to catch up on it. But I got to go to the show. I think it was last year when they were here. Yeah, my friend bought me tickets, like a present. So I got to go see it, and I was so pissed because, of course, you know, I had a few beers. But I had to go to the bathroom, and right when I went to the bathroom is when the girls' match came on, and it was only like a 10-minute match. For like 5 minutes. So I was like working my way back. My friend was like, "You missed the girls." I was like, "Bitch!" So I saw all of it, but the girls' match. And it was kind of funny because, like, you know how people are at, like, football games. They're like, "We're gonna beat the traffic, but let's leave the stadium like 15 minutes early." So everybody started leaving, right? Because they thought it was over. Well, then, like, the main event comes on, and it's, like, John Cena against, like, CM Punk or something crazy. Like, everybody's like, rushing back in. I was like, that's what you get, fair, you know, bandwagoners.
Oh, man. You should have went to the bathroom before you went to the show. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. Well, I was at the show. I drank all those beers, and, you know, how us women are, so...
Oh man, so are you besides Natalya Neidhart and Ashley Flair and, like, I guess yourself, like, are you a fan of, like, the third generation wrestlers, and how do you feel about, you know, like a wrestler's son or daughter getting into the business? Do you feel that they get preferential treatment, or you feel it's harder for them since, like you were saying before, you have a name to live up to, so it's like you have to do things extra hard, even cheerleader Melissa, you know, do you feel like wrestlers like that have to be a step better than a person who has no family lineage?
Yeah, I really do think it's harder. I wouldn't say it's easier because, you know, this is exactly what you just said. They have a name to live up to. So if you see, you know, Ric Flair's daughter out there, then they're like, well, she's not as good, or she is as good. So, I mean, you know, people just kind of have this image of your family already and who you are, and it's, you know, it's not like with me, I think people always think I got into wrestling because of my grandfather, when really, you know, when I first started doing it, I didn't tell him for a couple months that I was doing it, because he wouldn't have been happy about it at first. Wow. Until he actually kind of saw me, what I was doing, and it wasn't anything, you know, raunchy or, you know, because it's a tricky business, and you have to really, like, surround yourself with people you can trust, because, like, with any entertainment business, there are those people that will take advantage of you. So, you know, I think it definitely is harder. You have more to prove, and you have that name to live up to, and it can be a lot of pressure. And some people make it in it, and it's not necessarily their dream. They're just doing it because it's what they know, you know?
Yeah. But, like, on yourself, though, like, you don't think you would fully commit it full-time now? Like, you don't have the passion anymore, you think, Roxy?
I do. I've always had the passion for it, because once you kind of, like, taste that little bit of limelight, it can be so addicting.
Yeah.
But now I just kind of, not that I don't have the passion for it, and I've always kind of been this way. I'll always have a passion for it, always be a place in my heart, but you have to make sure you it's not a real, just because it's not realistic for everyone to make it in the business, you know, especially someone like me who's maybe just doing it part-time and is managing and is not fully wrestling, because the spots are so limited, and you only have 1% of wrestlers on TV with a contract, and then, you know, look at a company like TNA, they could fold, they could not fold, so you never know, so you don't want to put your eggs in one basket, so I just, you know, I go back to school, and I have a real job that I love, and I still love my life, you know. So being away from it for a year or a month, it doesn't hurt me, because, you know, it's always in my heart, and I still have friends who do it, and I know it's not the end. I know, you know, there could be a month where I run another show, and there could be one where I'm a part of one. I just kind of pick and choose what I do more carefully now, because, you know, this isn't something that I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. If I'm not on a show, it doesn't kill me. I just am more protective over things that I want to put my effort and my time into, I guess.
I see. Also, since wrestling and being involved in managing, have you ever ventured to New York City and participated in any independent wrestling in the city?
I have ventured to New York City on my own. I have family in New York. Dad's side of family. Yeah, my dad's side of family is, like, Utica, Rochester area.
Yeah.
And I have my mom's side. I have a uncle that has the old nice penthouse in Manhattan. He's a big Wall Street guy.
Yeah.
My cousin Chad, who is actually a writer, he writes quite often for the New York Times, that lives in Brooklyn. So I went and stayed with him in Brooklyn for a while. I was in Bed-Stuy. And got to see some cool stuff. I loved it. I love New York. There's always something to do. You're never bored. It's so faster. I remember I was at, like, a bodega counting out the right amount of change for, like, a bagel. And the guy was like, Are you kidding me with the change? Just give me $1. And I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, I mean, New Yorkers are just, you know, they walk with a purpose. It's like when it's cold outside, like, you know, you're cold, you're going to get there, you're going to shovel out the driveway quicker or whatever. I mean, they got stuff they're doing. So people mistake that as rude, but they're not. I mean, you ask for directions, they love giving you directions. Like, they will tell you every corner, what market's on it. So I love New York, and I never had the chance to be with a wrestling company up there because at the time I think I was like 16 or 17,
yeah.
And I hadn't gotten into it yet. But if anybody's out there, hey, hit me up. I would love to, just the simple fact to get to go back to New York, because it's just such an amazing place.
Oh, because there's definitely a lot of independent places out there that, you know what I'm saying, I'm sure they're definitely looking for managers. So, you know, that sounds interesting, you know?
Yeah, hey, I'm putting a shout out. If anybody needs me, know where I'm at.
Sweet. And a nice shout out to the bodega. I like that. You said bodega. That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, a thing about the city that's really cool, you definitely do not need a car. You don't need a car at all.
I know. No gas. No deal with all that crap. I mean, you might get killed by a cabbie, but...
No, you can take the train anywhere. Yeah. You can take the train to Brooklyn, the Bronx, Manhattan. You can take a train anywhere.
So that's right. I love New York.
Oh, and then how is it now working at your job now? Like, you know, how do you feel... Like, do you feel like something's missing, or you feel like regular? Like, okay, I'm cool with this. I'm working. I'm not wrestling now. This is cool. This is where I'm at. You know.
Yeah, I'm totally cool. And I've always been one of those people that's like, even when I was wrestling, I had a full time real job, because, you know, I wasn't paying my bills with that. You know, I've always been like, I always had a couple hands and three different honey pots, you know, so I've always liked money and making it. So, you know, I think a lot of people, and I wasn't on the level that my granddad was or even my father was. You know, I wasn't like, you know, some of my friends who have had that contract and been famous.
Yeah.
So coming back from that, it's probably such an adjustment for them, you know. For me, it wasn't like that because I never reached that kind of level. I never had that contract to reach that level. Mine was just more like, let's get out here and do this. This is fun. I like it. And so it hasn't been any different. You know, I love my life, and I do dog rescues, and I work in a kennel, and at Barton's, and I do what I want, you know, like, and I go to school, and I take foreign languages. So I always have stuff that I'm doing, and that's my dream. Is like, I really like to work for the government, being like an interpreter and speaking Spanish and traveling the world, kind of. So, you know, I get goals and things like that that fulfill my life every day.
Wow, what's your favorite animal?
Oh, dogs, of course. I'm a big animal activist freak, and I'm totally not one of those people that like throws blood on fur or anything like that, but I'm big on, like, you know, animal charities and animal rescue, and I do as many as I can and kind of do, you know, things like that help out the puppy dogs.
Oh, are you a vegan as well, or no? You eat meat still, right, or?
No, I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, you are?
It's kind of ironic to be a vegetarian in kind of the wrestling world. So I used to eat a lot of steaks and a lot of red meat. But, yeah, I just started to have, I was having, like, you know, just minor health problems, like, you know, just stupid things, like getting a cold easier. But I didn't feel as great. And I just kind of started researching, you know, GMOs and organic food and all that, and that changed my diet completely, and I just felt great, and I still do. I have so much more energy, and you know, I do yoga and eat right, and it just makes me feel more balanced.
Wow. Is it more expensive to eat that way? Is it, to change your whole lifestyle of eating, like, healthy? Is it more expensive way of eating, or...?
Yeah, it is, and it was a lot more expensive at first, it was more expensive at first because I didn't in the know. Once I started learning where farmers markets were, and, like, you know, you can haggle with these people and kind of where, like, the ins and outs of it, it became a lot cheaper, and now I grow my own food, so I grow my own tomatoes, my own seasonal vegetables. I have a little raised bed box, and that helps out too. And it's full of peaceful, you know. And so it can be more expensive. And I think a lot of people think, you know, when I say I'm a vegetarian, they think that, like, you know, I have this thing against meat, and that's not it at all. I cook meat all the time for my parents. I make sure it's organic, and that's because I don't think it's necessary to harm a cow or a pig before you cook it. I mean, you know, just let it live like a normal pig, and then kill it and eat it, and there you go. So that's kind of my stance on that, I guess.
You'll probably be good on that show, Naked and Afraid. You ever watch that show on Animal Planet?
my stepdad loves that show, and it's funny because there was one that had a vegetarian on it, and she wouldn't eat, like, anything.
Yeah,
and he was like, you have to watch this, it's a vegetarian, you know? And I was like, well, if I'm on that show, I'm obviously going to eat whatever I have to eat, you know? Yeah. I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm a vegetarian, I'm an old African jungle, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to eat meat, but... I'm going to do whatever I can do to survive because it's competition, you know, but yeah, we lost it all
the time. Another question about animals. You don't like cats at all? Because I have a cat. I love cats, but you don't like cats, or?
No, I do have a cat, and she's like a dog. she goes outside to the bathroom and just kind of meows when she's hungry, and she was kind of like arrested too. We found her, so... I took her, and her name's Rosie. She's pretty cool. I mean, she even rolls on her back and lets you pet her like a dog, so I do like cats as long as they act like dogs.
That's cool. I love that you love animals. That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to give up steak, though. I love steak too much.
Yeah, steak is good. Hey, I still miss chicken and steak and all that stuff. I just try to, you know, curb my cravings, I guess. I mean, I had a dream about fried chicken like a month ago, actually. I was just like standing in the kitchen frying some chicken, so it's probably fine. But I think once you get past a certain time after doing it, you just get used to it. You don't stop craving things, so.
Yeah. I guess it's also be like the wrestler aspect of you, because when you was wrestling, did you had a certain diet that or a certain regimen that you follow eating wise or?
Yeah, and it was true because I lived with another wrestler at the time, and it was like we just ate a lot of protein, a lot of steak every night, potatoes, and we're like greens. I mean, we portioned everything out. So I got more like full now because I post a lot of pictures on my Facebook of things that I post because I find I get more creative now because I have to, and I feel like my food tastes better, or I cook better because, you know, I'm going outside the box of things I know how to make. But now I don't get as full, so I'm constantly eating, but I don't gain weight because I'm eating healthy. But, I mean, I'm constantly, I can eat, six times a day, because you never get full because you're eating a bunch of vegetables, so that's a little bit different for me. Sometimes I'm like, God, I'm just tired of freaking eating, I can't stop.
Well, at least, you know, you're not eating, you know, number ones and McDonald's or Big Macs or, you know, cheeseburgers or nothing.
Yeah, and they're so good, like, don't get me wrong, McDonald's is delicious, but I don't eat that way anymore, so, but I mean, I'm still, like, that's still normal, like, if people eat that in front of me, I'm not like, oh, that's gross, you know, I'm like, that was good, too bad I can't eat it, you know, so.
Roxy, is there anything, anywhere the fans can reach you, or anything you want to plug out there, or?
Yeah, you know, I just signed up my new Instagram account, so. So bear with me because I'm a little bit computer electronic illiterate. It's just Doll Baby Rocks. That's my Instagram. One word. And then my Facebook is Roxy Rocky. You know, I'm still kind of involved in wrestling, so it just depends on kind of what it is and what the show is. And anybody can book me or find me on there. And I accept everybody. So I've got a lot of friends, so. Hopefully I can get some more.
Yep. And you're willing to travel anywhere, right? If a promoter wants to book you from, let's say, the city or somewhere out in the boondocks, you're down to go wherever, right?
Absolutely. I'm down to go. I've been to Texas. I've been to New York. I've been to Atlanta. So if you book me, I will travel. I just want to see as much of the world as I can. So hopefully there's some European promoters out there listening because I need to go to Europe.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Japan or no?
I'm willing to travel and open for booking.
Oh, have you ever been to Japan?
I haven't. My dad went there, though, and he bought me that's the coolest kimono. I still have it. But, yeah, I was actually talking to another guy about going to Japan not long ago, and I was like, yeah, you need to go. And he was like, I have this opportunity. I was like, go to Japan. They have, the best food in the world. So, yeah, I've never been, but, man, I would love to go over there.
Also, one more question before I get off the phone with you. Your grandfather, did he wrestle one time at the old WWF as well?
I'm not sure if it was the WWF then, but I know that my grandfather wrestled for Vince McMahon Sr. as well as my dad.
Yeah, okay.
So he wrestled for Vince McMahon's father. I'm not sure if it was called that then, but I know that he wrestled for that. He's got a poster hanging up in his store in Brentwood. By the way, if anyone lives in the Nashville area, Glenn Rossi Health Foods is in Brentwood. He still runs it and works there every day.
Oh, sweet, sweet. All right, Roxy. Well, thank you so much for giving me an hour of your time. I appreciate it. And fans, if you want to look for her, she's on Instagram and she's on Facebook. And she wants to get booked already, so book her, for Christ's sake.
Then now they're not going to book me. They're like, yeah, we don't want her. thank you so much. I really appreciate you doing this interview with me. And I'm really glad we got to talk on the phone. I always see you on Facebook, so it's nice to meet you officially.
Nice to meet you too, Roxy. I definitely appreciate it.